From Akron, Ohio, this is episode 121 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we are going to talk about the trope Love It or Hate It, and then we are going to talk about our top five examples of things we love that everyone else hates, or that not everyone else, but that some people. You know what I mean.
And the other way around.
And vice versa. We'll talk about it when we talk about, when we explain what that trope is.
We'll talk about it when we talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we do. Before we jump into the show, we do have a new iTunes review. This is maybe my favorite iTunes review that we've ever had. And if you want to be like Chief Jep here, you can go over to iTunes, find us, subscribe, and then give us a review. This is a 5-star review that he titles simply The Bing Bong. And the review says, a revelation, cashew, and sample text in the extreme.
What? Did he just like drop some mad poetry on us or something? That was like,
I'm going to say that again. Simply The Bing Bong. Which, I mean, of course, we're Simply The Bing Bong.
Yeah,
I think that,
I mean, no one ever has doubted that.
I take it back from last week's episode. We should make sure it's a that comment. Yeah. That is
like,
awesome.
Since day one, our goal has been to be like only one thing.
Yeah, Simply
The Bing Bong. But I think we are a revelation. We are sample text in the extreme. But most importantly, we are a cashew.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Chief Jep, for that. That is just fucking perfect. I am your host, Nick, and today I'm joined by
Demo
and Kyle.
So, on today's trope, we are going to talk about the trope, Love It or Hate It. A famous man once said, hate it or love it, the underdog's on top. And I'm going shine, homie, until my heart stop. Demo, what do you think 50 Cent in the Game meant by that? Hate it or love it, the underdog's on top. And I'm going shine, homie, until my heart stop.
Well, clearly it's him voicing the fact that despite odds stacked against him, much like David, he has overcome them. And not only has he overcome them, but he's going to continue to be in the winner's circle there, or on top, as he puts it, and to not only be there, but to excel there, shine, until the day he dies.
Kyle, the follow-up line is, go ahead, envy me. I'm Rap's MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me. Do you know them?
Do I know them?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I
excellent.
Do.
Yes. So we've done what the Game and 50 Cent commissioned us to do back during the Game's album, the documentary. Terrific, terrific hip hop.
Brilliant.
I do really like that song. Funny story about that song. One of my friends thought the line was "Hit it or love it, Don, the dog's on top." I don't know who they thought Don was, or why it was important to tell him that.
Or maybe is Don the dog is on top.
Like I just assumed that was the real name of Underdog, the cartoon character.
Yeah. I thought it was Don, comma, the dog is on top. But maybe it was Don the dog.
Hey, Don.
Is Don
on top.
The dog is on top. Either way.
Oh,
so this trope, awesome. It's one of those tropes that's not inherent to the work itself. It's more of our interpretation of the trope.
Yeah.
So it's things that are polarizing.
That really got me, Don. Don, the dog's
Don,
on top.
Don, the dog is on top. Hey, Don, I just want... Ring. Is Don there?
I feel like...
Yeah, this is Don. Hey, Don, I just want to let you know that the dog is on top.
I always get like this at least once a time when we record, or I just like derail the show because I'm laughing at something.
I like it. It makes me feel good. So, love it or hate it.
It's what we strive for, to make you laugh. That yeah. It's like the greatest feeling.
That's
ever.
The Bing Bong.
Yeah. Yeah. Simply the Bing Bong. Simply the Bing Bong. Hit it or love it. I'm sorry, love it or hate it. It's something that's polarizing.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, and it happens all the time on our show.
Yes.
I'd say pretty much anytime someone makes a point and no one else comments on it, you can kind of tell. Not that they hate the point or the thing that they're talking about, but that they have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm going to say for this entire episode that hate is a very strong word. And what I talk about later on, it's not that I actually hate it. It's just that compared to how much everyone else loves it, how I feel towards it can basically be seen as hating it.
So I think of it as this way, and they note on the site that many shows have broad appeal.
Yeah.
Those shows are peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know, there's something that everyone likes, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No one craves a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, though.
Some people do. I think that's a little weird, but I you know.
I could go for one right now.
But then there are other things like olives. I think they're terrific. I think they're the bee's knees. Some people just hate them.
Yeah.
This is that trope.
Yeah.
I was gonna go more like ethnic-y or spicy or something. Like,
yeah,
you either like you get really into it. People have like conventions for hot sauce and spicy things, and then people are just like, I can't stand it. I'm gonna order my Indian food at a zero.
Yeah. So these are things that are polarizing.
It's nice.
They're not built for mass appeal. More for
A lot of cult niche movies are this
cult things.
Things really. We didn't do an episode based on like. I mean, we did Troll, too, but besides that, we didn't do, like, a whole thing about it.
I've never done, like, The Room.
No.
Yeah.
I would love to review The Room.
Me, too.
But when you look at movies, what's the review that you love to see? You love when critics love it and audience hates it?
Yep. And I've got some examples of those.
Nice. On your list?
Movies like that on my list. Yeah, I like looking at the Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. I call it the differential. The difference between the critic and the mass audience.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, and there have been times where I've veered the other way, but I would say for the most part, and a lot of my list is those movies where it has a great critic score and kind of a middling audience score. Just because, I don't know, it doesn't have that mass appeal. A lot of people watch some of these movies, and I'll have examples of them, and just don't get it or find it boring or too weird or something like that. And those are very oftentimes the movies I go for.
I feel like those types of movies are definitely the kind of movies where you need to see multiple times to really get into it. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why there's such a big difference, because the audience are like, they see it in theaters. They pay, what, $15 to go see it.
Sure.
Then they hop on to Rotten Tomatoes. They write a scathing review, and then that's it.
Yeah. So we're going to do...
That's a really good point.
We're going to do a top five things that we love from this trope, and then top five things that we hate. So do we want to just jump into one of them now?
Before we get into that, I was actually curious as to which list was easier for you guys to come up with. Because I know I'm like, making these lists, I feel like I'm kind of that cynical asshole, and that the list for things that I don't like that most people like came to me so much quicker than the things that I like that people don't like.
My list is shorter. I haven't pared down all of my hate list, but that being said, I think I could come up with more likes. But I think, I mean, my taste in movies is a little weirder.
I think I'm kind of lucky that Sir's not here today, because I think he views me as sort of the cynical guy who doesn't like anything. But we'll see.
I tend to like kind of movies that people might call either pretentious or what have you.
Palme d'Or.
Yeah. The Palme d'Or. Do I have any Palme d'Or? I have zero Palme d'Or winners on my list currently. So, fuck you guys. But no, I mean, I like those movies that
only you would have like a mental bank of movies that have won the Palme d'Or whatever thing.
I pay attention to things. I'm a lover of cinema. Kyle.
Yeah.
Which list do you want to start off with?
I could start with my... I'll start with my love it.
All right.
Yeah, so
what's your number five
love it? My number five, Lyle Love It, is... I'm going to say a game called Dark Souls. And it's loved by the people who... It's a really brutally tough game. There's usually like a part half an hour into the game where it's a boss where, and if you can't beat them, then you just give up on the franchise completely. Or if you beat them, it's, you experience this ultimate high and you just want to keep going further and further. But it's like a really brutal game, and it's the third in the Dark Souls series, but they've made other games like this before. And, on the Rocks podcast, I'm the only one who has really played them, cause I like that sort of sense of accomplishment when you take down those bosses, but Nathan and Dave can't stand it, and that's really how I think most people view it, is either you really get into it and you're obsessed with it and you can't wait for the next one to come out, or you can't stand it because it is just so like kick you in the teeth hard that it's just not user friendly. So it's a very hardcore game that has been polarizing for a very long time. So I think that'd be my number five for sure.
That's a cool pick.
What about you, Themo?
My number five of things I love is South Park. I tried to go with very, very divisive things where it can elicit a lot of, and I don't know if it's so much the case now. Now that they're much more mainstream, especially after like Book of Mormon and so forth. But when it first came out, people just, it was just like this moral outrage because it was a cartoon and they were swearing and, yeah. and all these.
I'm surprised we were allowed to see it. So, I mean, I think I watched it way too young. I was like quoting it before I even knew that bastard was a bad word. I remember, I was actually talking about this the other day and how I was like quoting that line and you were getting mad at me and mom like didn't care that I was saying that word.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. You were just like, why are you letting him say that? And I'm like, why is bastard like a bad word? And I was like, okay. But anyway, yeah, that's a good pick. That show is definitely, you either get it and you like the humor or it's too much for people to handle.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna love it too.
I'm gonna love it. And I'm gonna hate Dark Souls. Like I read the reviews that said the exact same thing, which was like, you're either gonna get into this and it's gonna be awesome for you or you're just gonna rage quit. And I'm like, my temple's already throbbing. I don't need to deal with this.
You're pre-rage quitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rage not buying. Nick, your number five, love?
My number five, I'm going to go with a film called Spring Breakers. This is one of those that has like a decent Rotten Tomato score from the critics and just like an abysmal one from audiences. Because it's, I think it has Selena Gomez and Vanessa Hudgens. So it probably attracted the wrong audience for like an art house movie about girls who go on a killing spree, basically.
Well, I think it's another movie where the trailers couldn't show what the movie is actually about.
Yeah, it's
So it kind of reminded me of Cabin in the Woods in a way, where it's like you go into it expecting one kind of movie and you're like,
yeah,
it could changes.
The places this movie goes is crazy, and it also does a lot of things that are completely unexpected. Like there are characters who just leave in the middle of the movie and you expect them to have this like arc that just doesn't happen. Which I think is a funny way to approach it. And in seeing them do that, I got a kick out of it. But I'm sure it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Like, no, she should be back and she should do this and she should start thinking this way. And it's like, well,
is it like a cheap movie? Like not like that Birdemic, but like do they take themselves seriously during it?
Yeah.
Or is it goofy and kind of, oh my god, like let's run away from whatever?
No, it goes to some interesting places, but they're taking it seriously in the way that they do it while kind of commenting on the genre. I don't want to like give too much away about the specifics, but it's a good movie. I like it a lot. I think James Franco's super entertaining in this movie. It's basically the rapper Riff Raff.
Yeah, I saw his scenes on YouTube. Someone compiled them and it looked like so disturbing, especially because like, oh, that's clearly how Riff Raff probably is in real life. And it's just like, I feel gross having watched that.
Yep. I'm a big fan of his performance in that movie. I've quoted it many times on this show.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's your number four?
My number four, I guess I'll go back and forth between games and stuff. My number four is the Three Ninjas franchise. I actually looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is not a very popular, at least the first one, is not a highly rated movie.
A lot of kids' movies are that way, though.
You think?
I
guess. Unless they're like cartoons or Disney cartoons or something. But I don't know. I love like really weird, like we liked a lot of really bad movies when we were little, like Blank Check, we talked about on the show pretty recently.
The kid got kissed in that movie, I remember,
by like a grown-ass woman.
I felt like, I was like, oh, that's weird. Even as a kid, I was like, that's weird,
that seems inappropriate, she should not be doing that.
But yeah, I've always liked the Three Ninjas movies. They're entertaining, they're very quotable, surprisingly. And
Rocky loves Emily.
Rocky loves, ooh, someone got a ticket.
Shut up.
But, and then the fights are just goofy too, and like pretty brutal. And the scene where they're like hiding from the two guys who get who break into their places, or the three guys that break into their places, like a classic scene that I. It's awesome. I don't know. I know I'm in. We're definitely in the minority for liking that.
I wonder if we watched it now.
I think I'd still like. Mostly just because I'd remember every single line.
You would nostalgia enjoy
it. Yeah. Same with like Ninja Turtles. I almost put Ninja Turtles on this list, but I think I think more people like that.
I kind of don't want to rewatch Three Ninjas because I want to keep the nostalgic memories.
Speaking of which, I just had Ecto Cooler.
Let's light this. How was Bad it? Boy up?
Not as good.
Not as good? Is it because they have a new formula or because you're an adult?
How about Squeeze-Its? Remember those
probably,
things?
Probably. The latter just as much as the former. Like, yeah. I don't know if anything that's like pure
sugar. Green colored sugar.
Yeah.
It's tough to recapture that magic.
Yeah.
Thimo, what are your number four?
My number four is... So, I mean, you got me thinking, because now I'm like, do I use Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which my family loves. That was one of our go-to movies that we were way too young to really watch. And like... On rewatch, they talk about like robot chubbies and things like that. that like was way above our heads. So I guess, yeah, I don't know. A lot of people don't like that. Keanu doesn't like that.
So you guys on a first name basis?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
I'm talking about the cat from the Key and Peele movie.
Yeah.
What
was that movie called?
I think The Cat That Got Lost.
Yes.
What were the names again?
In When Harry Met Sally.
But yeah, I'll go with Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. It's my number four thing that I love.
Nice. Nick? My number four, I'm going to go with the movie Boyhood from a couple years ago. It was the movie Yes, that's the movie.
I want to be your hero.
I sing that song to my dog.
I don't want to be...
But I changed the words to sneaky. it's a movie that Richard Linklater made.
Your dog was named after.
Bob is the dildo for Bob's Burgers. Boyhood is a movie that Richard Linklater filmed over a 12-year time period with Ethan Hawke, the kid, the titular boy who has a hood, his own daughter, and Patricia Arquette. It's a really, really good, just interesting philosophical movie, but it's done in a way that the movie really doesn't have a plot at all, and it's long. It's almost 3 hours long, if I remember right, and a lot of people just can't deal with that, but I thought it was a really, really terrific way to make a movie.
Cool idea. Did they shoot it chronologically?
Yeah, they shot it.
A couple questions. Do you think this movie would have been the same if he would have done it in 1 year, or like with different actors playing the kid?
No.
And that's it. Maybe that's the only question.
Because it's really interesting to see that, like, if you would have done it as a cartoon who gradually ages or something like that. No, it's the fact that you actually see these people get older.
Well, not in a cartoon, but just like as like child actors or children, different children playing the younger version.
Having it unfold this way is something like no one has ever done before. And even there's a 7-Up series where people do documentaries, but this, all of it compressed every single year into one, 2.5-hour movie. It's a crazy experience. And I don't understand how people watched that movie and found it boring.
I still don't understand how he didn't win Best Director. Like, I think
We'll get to that in my hated section. The movie it lost to is coming up later in the episode. This movie is just terrific. If you haven't seen it, I would strongly recommend checking it out.
Do you think anything like this is going to happen again?
Be surprised
on the big screen, though, because I feel like you see a lot of these things where people take a picture of themselves for every day for 50 years or something.
But this, I mean, this is a feature length movie by a really, really well known
director. And starring like really well known people too. Person.
Yeah, it ended up winning an Oscar for Patricia Arquette. So
yeah, that's cool.
I don't know that anyone will be able to do that this kind of quality level.
Yeah. That's cool.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
What's your number three, Kyle?
What was your point, Thema?
Oh, no, just that we see that kind of longitudinal thing all the time with television series and miniseries and so forth. So I don't see why that isn't... I mean, I don't see why that couldn't happen more often.
Yeah, I think that especially now everyone loves their sort of instant gratification and stuff. And, like, who wants to take that many years with, I don't know, whatever. My number three is The Binding of Isaac. Rebirth specifically, but even Afterbirth. I haven't played Afterbirth, but I feel like it's a game franchise where I know, at least in our house, I love the crap out of that game. Lisa can't stand when I play it because just the sound and the art style and the fact that you're shooting like little bits of poop and stuff, and it's such a dark game. But it's like people make a living playing this game on YouTube. Like, they love it that much. They have thousands of episodes cataloged of just them playing it, and people will watch them and donate money to them because they play this game. And then there are just people that have either never heard of it or just couldn't care less and don't play it at all. So it's like one of the most popular games of all time, and a lot of people just couldn't care less about it. So I feel like no one's ever just like, yeah, Binding of Isaac's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's either you love it or hate it. So Thema, what would be your number three?
Number three is Edward Snowden. I do think him.
Do you mean the new biopic starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
That's it.
All right.
I mean, yeah, who really, you know, changed for that role? Like, he shaved and things.
He lost this weird French accent from the tightroping. You know, when you
the movie that was making people sick.
Yeah, when you're on a tightrope, it's called tightroping.
Sounds like a new dance.
The Balance, I think it was called. Yeah. But, no, I mean, the question becomes, is he a villain or is he a hero to the United States? And the fact that he blew the whistle on the monitoring of everyday citizens without, in my opinion, without merit, makes him more of a hero. And even if you don't believe that...
The monitoring was without merit, the... Telling them was with merit.
Right, the monitoring, right, without merit. And the degree of it, and, you know, mentioning things about, you know, the very thin threshold for being able to listen in or take data is pretty off-putting to me. And I think that even if you don't agree with him, about how he did it, I think his heart was clearly in the right place to defend the American public. So he's on my pro list. I'm not in love with him. I don't love him, but I think he's more hero than villain.
Nice.
Nick, you're number three.
My number three, I'm just gonna get it out of the way. Kyle's tried watching it, wasn't a fan. This is my Twin Peaks.
Oh,
revisiting God. The Twin Peaks. Some people just can't stay in the show. I, of course, adore it. I don't need to clarify any further. We've talked about it, I think, ad nauseum on the show, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention Twin Peaks at least once a recording session. Kyle, what's your number two?
My number two is Journey / Don't Stop Believin' as a song.
Excellent.
I feel like you either it gets you moving when you hear it at a wedding or something. Or you're that grumpy, crotchety guy who sits down and
I stopped bleeding.
Keeps drinking their white wine spritzer and just whatever, doesn't care about it. But I originally had just Don't Stop Believing on here, but I feel like Journey as a band also is just...
I'm not going to hold on to that feeling.
I don't know. I love the song. Lisa's brother is getting married in like 3 months.
It's the best part of any wedding.
And on his RSVP, he said he has this thing on it where it's, I will dance, or I will go on the dance floor if you play, and then you put your own song recommendation. I put that. And as soon as I sent it into him, he like texted me and was like, don't stop believing. I was like, yeah, that's gotta be there.
Gotta be.
That's such a good idea for a wedding invitation.
Yeah, but it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Do people hate Hall & Oates?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about them.
Yeah, I
think they're terrific.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just think they're okay, so.
Just thinking of songs that, like, are great at weddings. You Make My Dreams Come True. Perfect wedding song. That'll get me on the dance floor.
Yeah.
What's the one that's like, cha-cha, real smooth?
The cha-cha slide, or no?
Yeah.
I think it's the Hokey Pokey, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm on the hate it version of most of those songs.
Then what would be your number two?
My number two, thing that I love that most people, or that people can hate, is going to be Kid A and Amnesiac. Nice.
Funny that you bring up Radiohead. We'll get into that in a moment.
So when it first came out, half people just didn't like the sound of it. When I first heard it, I didn't like the sound of it. I thought that it was just pretentious and obnoxious. But the more I listened to it, the more it was... went away from something that was obnoxious to something that was new and cool, and loved it, and still do. Kid A and Amnesiac from Radiohead.
So we were talking the other day about what is your least favorite band? What band do you hate? I kind of landed on, and not like a band that nobody's ever heard of, like
yeah.
Johnny
and you can't,
whoever's
you can't high choose
band.
Nickelback, right? Like that.
That seems reasonable. That was a pretty easy.
You said Creed though.
No, Jake said Creed. I said Aerosmith. Because I'm not a fan of Aerosmith, but apparently one of Lisa's like most hated bands is Radiohead.
Yeah, she can't stand Radiohead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Well, it's mostly the
Tom York.
Yeah, she can't understand.
Isn't that like, weird though?
It is a very unique voice.
Yeah.
Actually, we're doing in that same conversation. We were talking about favorite bands or whatever. I think, or do we?
Perhaps. I don't think we ever got
there. Did anyone talk about Queen? Because we were just talking about them the other day.
I was listening to them on the way down here.
Yeah, oh, Queen.
When the Cavs
won. It's like, do they have a bad song?
When the Cavs won the championship, I drove around Cleveland with my windows down, blasting We Are the Champions for a good half hour, because people were just like partying in the streets. Terrific time. Terrific.
Terrific.
I love Seven Seas of Rye. I love that. And I also love their Highlander theme song. Princess of the Universe. It was like, yeah, hell yeah, we are. Here we are.
I remember
Kings, Princess of the Universe.
I remember taking an online poll where it was like, you can pick anybody. It was free text. Who are the five best singers of all time? And I put Freddie Mercury, and I was boggled that he wasn't in like the top 10.
Oh, I agree. I've had that conversation.
He was like easily my number one.
Yeah, I've had that conversation with other. You know, with other human beings, about who do you think is the best rock singer of all time. To me, hands down, him. Because he had the ability to go rough and yet still beautiful at the same time.
Yeah. He was a true legend. Yeah. Featured heavily at the RNC.
What the fuck?
Against Queen's own volition, apparently. Which I...
Also, yeah, I
what
mean,
song?
Like,
we are the, what song did they play?
Oh, We Are the Champions.
Oh, God.
So nothing. Awful. Yeah,
not
nothing,
Fat Bottom Girls.
Nothing to unify the right, the far right, more than an openly bisexual man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they probably don't know that he was
a gay Brit.
Yeah.
There's nothing more Republican than a gay Brit.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yep. So my number two is, I've talked about this on the show before, I think quite a bit as well, but Under the Skin. This is one of those movies where I know people whose opinions I really respect, who just hated it. They didn't even understand why it was made. I think on Amazon, if I remember correctly, or at least at the time when I bought it, it had like a 1.5-star average.
Really?
Because people go into it thinking, this is the movie where Scarlett Johansson gets naked. Not, this is the movie that doesn't really have a plot, and it's kind of like about an alien who learns how to be human.
We know it's an alien.
With very little dialogue. And, yeah, I think she's explicitly an alien. But it's visually astounding. It has a crazy soundtrack. Like, one of the most iconic soundtracks. Like, on the level of, if more people would have seen this movie, it would be on the level of, like, a Psycho soundtrack in the future. Because it's that kind of, like...
It's orchestral.
Grating... visceral, but perfectly fits the mood of what's going on, and it's got that like sharp violin
also noise. The thing about watching Exorcist for the first time
Tubular Bells
was that theme song, yeah. Like how iconic it was, and I knew of it before I saw mm-hmm. the movie. The fact that they only play it in like that one scene, yeah. And, like they don't play it at all, and how it's so. Dun 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 dun. It's like it's not mm-hmm. like a theme. It's like it's just bells or whatever.
Yeah, it's called tubular bells.
Yeah.
Did you know that one of my old profile pics, I still have it on Facebook, is me on the Exorcist steps in Georgetown?
Yeah, 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 I remember when you saw that. Yeah.
Yep. When we were up there.
I was pleased with myself that I.
When we were up there, some guy shouted at us, "The power of Christ compels you."
No fucking way.
Yep. And he was a priest, and then he died.
Oh God!
And then you threw him down the stairs.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird. And then I vomited all this pea soup.
It's weird. I didn't even eat pea soup. It was strange.
Weird situation. Kyle, what's your number one?
My number one is a gaming genre known as a walking simulator. And that is the games. These are games where they're usually first person, and they're usually completely story driven. Where you
is this like Firewalk with me, or whatever it was called?
Firewatch. Firewatch is kind of like that. PT is like that.
Forget that.
Soma. No. I've talked about Soma on the show before. There's a game called Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, where you're like literally just walking through this sort of old English town after a nuclear bomb has gone off, and you're just like talking to people and figuring out what happened and everything. But they're really slow games, but they're usually so well written. Gone Home is another example, and they're actually becoming a lot more popular. But there are these games where you kind of unfold the story as you're walking through this very detailed world, and it's not complex. There's no fighting, there's no boss battles, there's no upgrading your character. You're just walking through, picking up pieces of paper, reading stuff. Maybe there'll be a narrator. Maybe something will walk in the room and scare you, but besides that, it's just you kind of unfolding the story on your own. I like that this kind of game because it's there's not a whole lot of thinking involved, and sometimes I just want to relax and enjoy like a good story and well written and well voice acted. And I can definitely see how people don't like this type of. It's definitely one of these genres of games where you need to be in the mood to play it. But if you're in the right mood, it's really great, and some of the best games ever are this type of game. So
I was laughing because I thought you were talking about like QWOP or whatever.
Oh, QWOP.
QWOP.
Oh,
that's why I was like,
no, those games are awesome too.
Yeah,
you're literally
trying
like,
to walk.
Yeah, you bend. Yeah, you hit Q and you bend your knee, kind of like that. Did I ever show you the I Am Bread, or even Surgeon Simulator stuff like that, where it's like difficult doing things,
like simple things that are way
it's
harder.
How to make things more tedious?
Yeah. That is another genre, actually. But yeah, the ones that I don't even know if Walking Simulator is a real thing. Maybe I just made it up, or we talk about it on our show. But
I love there's one I love called Fatale, which is based on, who was that guy? Oliver
Twist.
No, Wilde, not Oliver Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
Thank you. Oh my God, it's based on his Salome. So it starts off, and you're just walking around as John the Baptist, and then it's like Act Two, and you're just exploring as this like entity, like mm-hmm. it's, and nothing happens like from an action perspective, but it's just an experience.
Yeah, and I mean the Telltale games are a little bit like that. There's some action and stuff, but they're basically
you're
just
still making choices.
But it's something that you're just sort of experiencing more than you're playing it.
I would love to do something like Dear Esther in VR or Gone Home in VR.
PlayStation's. I think they're gonna start doing some really crazy things like that. I never actually played Dear Esther, but it looked pretty.
Didn't
decent.
Like it as much. It was pretty, but I didn't like it as much as.
Have you seen Adrift? It's supposedly like Gone Home, but in space.
And
you're like, apparently the controls like can make people sick because you're floating. So there's like so many different degrees of whatever. But apparently it starts out like gravity does, where like shit happens.
As long as stuff doesn't jump out of me, like PT really.
Yeah, I think it's more of an exploring and picking up stuff. So it's probably right up your alley if you don't get sick.
Yeah.
What's your number one?
My number one thing that I love that can be very divisive is vaccines. I love vaccines. I don't have polio.
Huge fan of them. I don't have polio. I've never had.
I don't
the
have
mumps.
Polio either. Or mumps.
No measles. No rubella. It's awesome. And every day I'm able to walk around. I don't usually, but I'm able to, thanks to the fact that I've never been crippled by polio.
Smallpox, that was a thing. That was a problem that people used to have.
Yeah, all the time.
Yep.
That's why they used to pop out 17 kids. Because
a lot of them were
died of smallpox.
That's awful. Why am I laughing?
It's the harsh truth. Yeah. But I mean...
But
Jenny McCarthy says that vaccines are banned.
In her defense, she was on a dating show on MTV, so she knows.
Yeah, she is an expert.
Yeah. I know we've talked about it before on the show, so I won't beat the dead horse, but
It's a shame. It's a shame that that's on this. It's a shame that that needs to make it on this list.
Yeah. Yeah. Your number one?
My number one is I'm going with the movie. I'm saying apolitical. Going with the movie. It is the film, and it's a movie that I hated the first time I saw it. I found it really pretentious. The Tree of Life. Yeah. It's a movie that I rewatched and adored. It's the cinematography in it is maybe the best in any film ever. It's by Emmanuel Lubezki, the current 3-time-in-a-row cinematography best Oscar winner. Of The Revenant and Gravity.
Does he have the most and in that category? He has to.
How could he not? And Children of Men. And of his movies, I really think that Tree of Life is the most gorgeous.
Is it similar story to something like Boyhood where it's not really about much? It's about like just a family?
Yeah, it's not really about much at all. I think it was the first Terrence Malick movie I ever saw, so I just kind of wasn't prepared for that approach to filmmaking when I first saw it. But the second time I saw it, I knew what I was getting in for. I knew there wasn't really a story Sean Penn is like the main character, and his part was like almost entirely cut out of it.
Really?
He has a couple scenes in it, and I think he might have a little bit of a voiceover, but he's not really in it. It's like these kids, basically.
That's crazy.
It's the kids.
That's like all I remember from seeing trailers.
Yeah, it's like the kids and Jessica Chastain and Brad Pitt. It's an incredible movie, but some people hate it, and I was one of them, and I understand why they hate it, but I think if you saw it and didn't like it, and you only saw it once, give it another shot. That would be my recommendation. That's kind of how I am about like all movies now. I feel like if you didn't like a movie because it was weird or not what you were expecting, you should probably give it a second shot, because there's been enough movies where I completely turned around on a second viewing. There have been a few where I didn't. I did rewatch Velvet Goldmine, which I thought might fall into this category, and because my wife likes it a lot, and after it was over, I just turned to her and I'm like, I'm sorry, but even after it was like 7 years since I saw it last, I'm like, even after a second viewing, this movie
have you tried I've watching been... Black Dahlia again?
Not for me. No, I didn't like that because it wasn't the weirdness.
You didn't understand it. It was just that it was awful.
It's just horrible. That's a truly awful movie.
I keep hearing that. And I want to see it because I know I shouldn't, but I kind of like true crime.
It's uninterestingly bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not worth
the time.
You won't get enjoyment out of how bad it is. It's just bad.
You will have wasted the time that you spent watching it.
Yes.
Where you could have been sleeping or something.
Brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
Making toast.
Pooping.